Jed, good morning. It is great to be back on another episode of NFL Fantasy Matchup. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was great. Always good to be home. It's good to see you too, Tommy. Glad to be back.
Got it. Well, hey, there's a lot of stuff that's happening. Training camp is heading into its second week. We're seeing injuries. We're seeing updates. We're seeing feedback on everything. So, man, I get started with you and getting your thoughts on all of these news and notes that we have.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot going on. One thing I wanted to mention was just the COVID testing. So I don't know if you heard over the weekend, there were several positive tests. The Bears, I think, actually had 9 positive tests, but they turned out to be false positives. And so I actually think that's a good sign. It suggests that their testing protocols are working. The issue is, what happens during this regular season? Because let's say you find out on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning that you've got this positive test for a player, and it still takes, they do 2 tests to like verify it. So what happens to that player? Can they not play? So that's going to be kind of interesting to see. But I thought it was still a good sign overall that their protocols are working.
Chad, you thought about that. I was thinking about that company is messed up. They are out of business because it all came from one company.
Yeah. False positives are definitely a tricky thing with this whole testing, this COVID testing thing. But, you know, I'm also hoping that some of their work is going to come down to the consumers, right? Because they've helped push some of these quicker response testing that they're using in the NFL. So hopefully we'll see that as well. Another thing I'll quickly mention, someone talked about fake crowd noise, that the NFL said you can use fake crowd noise, but there's been no rules about what's the volume, like who controls it. And so it'll be interesting to see how some of that plays out.
Oh my gosh, if you were the opponent, I would crank up that noise to the point where they can't hear anyone.
Well, if you remember, there was controversy with the Colts and the Patriots. You know, they said the Colts were doing that illegally. And so it'll just be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yep. Hey, one thing, going back to this whole thing of COVID testing, for those who are brand new, how many bench and IRs do you recommend? And what is an IR?
Oh, that's a great question. So when we do fantasy, you have a bench. So you have your set of starters that you have to fill. Usually it's 1 quarterback, 2 wide receivers, 2 running backs, tight end, and then a flex position or an open position. And so then you have a bench where you can have these extra players. Usually most have like between 4 and 6 benches. And then you have your injured reserve, your IR. And so I would think this season in particular, I'd recommend at least 2 IRs, maybe 3, and then also expand your bench because, again, like if someone tests positive for COVID, you got to replace them.
You do. And you constantly have to be watching the waiver and the latest updates because at any point in time, that person could be tested and that person is out at least for that game.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, watching the waiver wire is going to be even more important this year. And for those of you not familiar, the waiver wire is all the players who haven't been drafted and put onto a team. They're put into a single list, and then basically you can bid on them or you can try to get those players after the Sunday, after every game.
Chad, I'm in a league where last year was 4 bench players. This team wants to stay at 4 bench players. And I'll explain to them, you cannot have 4 bench players.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not enough. I mean, there's going to be a lot. Well, you can. The issue is just there's going to be a lot of fighting on the waiver wire because there'll be a lot of really good players, and then it could really change the impact of a lot. It just leads to a lot more fluctuation, which isn't necessarily bad, but it's different.
Well, it favors people like me and you who are casting on the waiver wire. It now messes up someone like my wife who does play, but she doesn't check the waiver wire until the Saturday night before. And so then she's scrambling with players. And when your star player's on, you're done for a season.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think the decision of how big your bench is really related to how much time do you want people spending, you know, studying the waiver wire and getting ready. And if you don't want it, if people don't have as much time, then you need to have a bigger bench.
Yeah. Well, hey, let me get your thoughts on some of the news that I've been looking at this whole week since we last talked on Friday, and love to get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
All right. AJ Green, wide receiver, Cincinnati Bengals. AJ Green's hamstring has really been injured and he has done nothing since August 17, but he has finally resumed running on Monday. Older player who has had a long history, but most recently a lot of injuries. Does your stock for AJ Green go up, stay the same, or go down?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one because he did start running. And actually, I'm glad you went to Cincinnati because I was going to mention Joe Burrow because he has been lighting it up in training camp. And the reports coming out are really strong. And if you listen closely, if you read closely, it's strong and really important points, which is that he knows the playbook. They're saying that he knows the playbook really well. He's going through his progressions. And so that it gave me pause. And it makes me – I think my rating for AJ Green is going to stay the same. I do think he's on the downturn, as I said. I think at best he's a wide receiver too. But what this does impact is Joe Mixon. I've been down on Joe Mixon, but now I'm thinking, man, maybe Burrow's better, you know, it's going to be better than I thought. And that bumps Mixon up maybe from the back half of the top 10 running backs to maybe even closer to up to the top five.
Because even as we talk about, I mean, like AJ Green, going back to him, if he does play, he's pretty good. And Joe Burrow needs him. But those soft tissue injury, the hamstring injury, will plague him throughout the season. And you're right, Joe Mixon is a great recipient of
one. Yeah, and Tommy, AJ Green has only played, I think, 9 games since 2017. So the guy is very injury prone. And so it just worries me.
Deontay Johnson, breakout that we've talked about, sleeper pick, everything. Wide receiver, Pittsburgh Steeler, misses the 5th straight practice. Thoughts?
Yeah, I saw that. And I think that's worrisome, especially given this season that, you know, just really learning the playbook well and knowing where you're going to fit. I am concerned about that. I still think, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, obviously, I think he's the main guy there. But I am hearing really good reports on Big Ben. Everyone's saying that Ben Roethlisberger is looking really good. And so that was encouraging given his age. Still a great sleeper pick. So probably about the same for me, no change.
And at the same time, it does help, especially with what you said about Big Ben and also Deontay Johnson. This actually raises the stock up for James Conner as well as J.J. Schuster, who the offense really struggled without Ben last year.
Yeah, and Conner is another big one that I'm hearing in camp that he's looking great. And you got to remember, Conner was number one pick, what, like 2 years ago. So, you know, it's sounding like the Pittsburgh offense could be back to where it was. And remember, though, there's just a huge drop-off. If Ben is not there, it's like literally cut in half. Yeah. So we'll have to see what happens.
And I know we're going to talk about our predictions for the Final Four and Super Bowl, but they had a pretty good above average, very pretty good defense last year. You add in Ben, hey, look, you don't know what's going to happen in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's one of those teams. They're just always in it. I mean, I have a friend who's a good friend who's a fan of the Steelers, and man, it's just nice to be able to cheer for them all the time because they always have a chance.
A.J. Howard, tight end from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, singled out by Coach Arians for a strong performance thus far in camp.
Yeah, no, I'm loving O.J. Howard. In fact, we were going to talk about some top breakout players later too, and he was one of my guys. So everyone's talking about Gronk, but actually what's happening in practice, people have been, the media, the local media there are saying that O.J. Howard is getting 75% of the number one reps. And so it's looking like they're really holding Gronk back as more of the second tight end or maybe even the third tight end, but it's looking like Howard is really being set up for this year. And the coaches are already talked about going to 2 tight end sets. And when you do that, usually one of the tight ends is more of the pass catching tight end. The other guy is more the blocking. That sets OJ Howard up perfectly. So I'm actually, he's on my breakout candidate list. I've raised his stock.
But honestly, Jed, as much as we don't like, for instance, back in the days when New England was its most successful, we don't like to talk about that player, but when Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski were on the field playing, the team was exceptionally well. Jets were so good.
It's a matchup nightmare if you're on defense. I mean, you got two. I mean, tight ends to begin with who can catch are a matchup nightmare because who can cover them? If they're big enough to cover them, they're too small. If they're quick enough to cover them, they're not big enough. And so they're a matchup nightmare. If you've got two of them, it's very unlikely that your defense has two players who can cover those guys.
Terrell Williams, wide receiver, Las Vegas Raiders, sustained a torn labrum in his shoulder, but will hold off surgery and play through the injury. What do you think of him? Ooh,
that's interesting. You know, again, the Raiders with the wide receiver core is just so up in the air. There's so many rookies and so many unknowns. That's interesting. I don't like the fact that, I mean, on the one hand, you like that they're pushing through the injury, but especially with speed guys, you feel like that soft tissue injury is going to hurt them. I don't know. We'll have to see. At least it's in the torn labrum, so up in the shoulder area, right? So that's probably still okay. But, yeah, I'm wary of the passing game out in Las Vegas.
Yeah. You know, David Carr actually is doing really, really well. I know that Gruden has been praising Mariota, but from all reports, everything I'm reading, Carr has done really well.
Yeah, you're right.
That helps Josh Jacobs a lot.
Yeah, you're right on. And that's a switch from last week. Last week we were hearing all about Mariota, but then actually, and this is the key, when you're reading training camp reports, look at who's taking the first player reps. And basically, Mariota has not been getting very many reps now. And so it's definitely Carr's game. And I do think it's a good sign for Jacobs.
Yeah, I think Ruggs will do really well. Waller will do really well. Jacobs, Terrell Williams, even when he was healthy, was above average, but was more of your possession receiver a lot of times last year.
Yeah, and again, like you said, I like Waller a lot. So I think, yeah, you know, wide receiver game, that's probably where I'm, or I mean, passing game, that's probably where I'm going with Vegas.
Marquez, Valdez, Scantling, wide receiver, Green Bay. We are always, always talking about the second wide receiver. He has been finding success, impressing in training camp. Does that move him in the race against Lazar as your number two wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you still got a little bit of time to see how it plays out. You know, to be very honest, like we've talked about, everyone keeps waiting for that second Green Bay wide receiver who's the number two. I don't like playing the guessing game, and so I'm not taking a flyer on either. Yeah. I'm down on Green Bay overall and their passing game this year anyway. I'm starting to lean towards thinking the Lions can win the division, which is just nuts.
Well, when you look at this Green Bay second wide receivers, you could just anticipate those two will be on the bench. And you just click on it to watch them and just see where it goes. And you can easily pick them up there on waivers during one of those weeks.
Yeah, I know. They're good names to follow and to be aware of. And again, for those of you watching, like a lot of times what happens is you'll see a player suddenly pop and get, let's say, close to 100 yards or a touchdown or something to kind of break out. And if you can jump and grab them right there, the coaches also like that. And then the next week you see them playing again and the week after. And so that's basically what you're looking for.
Mike Williams, wide receivers, Los Angeles Chargers. Surprise, surprise. Consider week to week with a shoulder sprain. If it's not the back, a shoulder sprain. Keenan Allen's always injured. Hunter Henry seems like he's injured. Another Charger is injured.
Yeah, that's a really tough situation. You know, injuries, you're right. I mean, Keenan Allen's been one that I've really loved for a long time. His skill set is amazing, but injuries have always gotten him. And now Mike Williams, actually really, really strong player, good size. I mean, it's disappointing here, but we just got to see. I mean, I think the offense is going to change with the Chargers because you got Tyrod, you know, running more now. It's kind of less of the passing game, more of running game. So we'll see how that all plays out. Again, for me, one to watch, but maybe not one to draft.
Got it. A couple more. Daryl Henderson suffered. There's a lot of hamstring injury. Daryl Henderson is another one who suffers a mild hamstring injury and the team hopes to have him back at week one. Are you drafting Cam Akers over Henderson?
That's a tricky one. Cam Akers over Henderson because of the injury. I mean, possibly, you know, I think you made a good point that there are a lot of soft tissue injuries I think that's part of this whole training camp thing. So it is something to watch, but they can usually fight through and particularly, you know, at that position. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's still a toss up. I don't think either is really, all that great of an option.
Speaking of soft tissue, you have Lamar Jackson suffering a soft tissue injury. You have Brandon Ayuk suffering a soft tissue injury.
Yep.
All of these guys, you're getting a lot of news of people suffering with soft tissue injuries.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake was in a walking boot the other day too. But again, the key is if you see any concern from, well, you know, one way you can tell, okay, if a team is really concerned about a player, you'll see them go pick up a player at the same position. So if you see that, then you know that there's some serious concern. Patriots are a good example, went out and signed Lamar Miller. So that tells you they're really concerned about some of their running backs. But if they're not, and if the player's not, you know, say anything on Twitter and things, then you know they're probably going to be okay. As I said, they can usually fight through a lot of those.
Speaking of the Patriots, last one, Damian Harris is looking great at training camp. I think this guy's a sleeper pick. This guy will emerge as the number one guy out of the backfield before season's over.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, it's a crowded backfield. You know, Sony Michel is kind of, I think, been a little bit disappointing. And so we'll see. And you're right. A lot of people are big on Harris. We'll see how it plays out. I just don't know how that offense is going to work in New England. And to be very honest, I think this is the first year New England's not going to win the division. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. Well, hey, look, let's talk a little bit about today. Our topic is we want to talk about Final Four Super Bowl predictions and four breakout players to target in 2020, all right? So Who do you think is going to win? Who's your final four for this year, Jed?
Oh, final four. I love it. So I'll say, I'm going to start with a couple things. I'll give the final four, but I'm going to make a couple predictions. I just kind of shouted out. I think the Lions can win the division, which I think is nuts, but I think they can make the playoffs this year. And I think the Bills can make the playoffs as both as division winners. I think that's going to be a shock. One thing to tell you guys, remember, do not forget, in the NFL, every year, 50% of the teams that did not make the playoffs the previous year make the playoffs in the second, in the next year. And so that's a huge shift. And so there's always going to be some crazy changes. Those are my two for this. But as far as my final four in the AFC, I've got the Ravens against the surprise Colts. And in the NFC, I've got the Cowboys against the Seahawks.
Really? Interesting.
How about you, Tommy? Who you got?
The ones I actually have, the Bears winning the division, because I think eventually, no matter what, one of their quarterbacks will do pretty well.
Yeah,
and then
I like that.
Dallas Cowboys, New Orleans Saints, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay. Wow. That's pretty. Oh, I like it. Wow. So you like Tampa Bay, and so you think Brady's going to pull it off?
I think so. Because you cannot deny the two wide receivers. The only concern I have is the running game. Will Ronald Jones do well? If they could find a good running back, they're going to do pretty well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, running game is going to be big for them to help protect Brady as well. So that's interesting.
In the AFC, I had the Kansas City Chiefs, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay, nice. So who do you have coming? So I've got the Ravens and the Colts coming out of the AFC, and I think the Ravens will take, they'll beat the Colts. And so I don't have Kansas City in there. I think it's hard to repeat. So I've got Ravens going back to the Super Bowl, and I think the Seahawks are going to beat the Cowboys. So I think it's going to be an all-bird Super Bowl, the Ravens versus the Seahawks, and I'm picking the Ravens to win it all.
Now we don't plan or talk about this. I actually have the Colts and Ravens playing, the Ravens coming out as the Super Bowl. And then Buccaneers and Saints, and the Buccaneers will win against the Saints because the Saints don't seem to do well in the National Championship Series.
Wow. So the poor Saints losing again there, always on the doorstep. But the Buccaneers, that's huge.
I love the Buccaneers just because I love their wide receiver core. Mm. I think a lot of times Tom Brady is something to prove. And if you get O.J. Howard as well as Gronkowski, they will add, even if they had to pick up Devontae Freeman over in running back, they will find a way to finish up first, and I have them as your Super Bowl champs this year.
Wow, that's a huge pick. I love it. And, you know, Bruce Arians, I mean, great coach, offensive-minded. That would be really fun to see. And, man, talk about Tom Brady sticking it to New England and Bill Belichick if they are able to pull that off. That would be really impressive. Probably my son who's a Patriots fan, my oldest son who's a Patriots fan, they're probably his biggest nightmare. But that would be really great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, the one thing I did cut you off. Do you have any other notes from the training news and notes that we had? Anything that stuck out for you?
No, I talked about Kenyon Drake. He was in a walking boot. The big one for me, Earl Thomas. We didn't talk about Earl Thomas. Got released by the Baltimore Ravens, had a fight, basically got in a fight in the leadership council, which is also every team has a leadership council made up of players. They basically said, we don't want this guy here, so they released him. It's rumored that he might be going to Dallas or San Francisco. Just pay attention. Earl Thomas, 5-time Pro Bowler safety. If he gets picked up by a defense, immediately elevates them. So pay attention to that.
Got it. All right, Jed, I'm going to do something because we talked about this. My wife is at the front door. I got to let her into her office.
Can you share
some of your breakout players? I'll come back and get right back to you.
Yeah, no problem. I'll talk about tech breakout players for sure. So one for me is Mecole Hardman, wide receiver out of Kansas City. This rookie, you know, everyone's talking, of course, about Tyreek Hill, great player. But this rookie, Hardman, had 26 receptions, 538 yards, and 6 touchdowns last year. He's now the second years we talk about with wide receivers, they tend to get better when they're second and into their third years, tend to be their breakout players. The reports out of camp are that he has been flying around camp. And the fact that he is popping and having highlights over Tyreek Hill and people are noticing his speed over Hill, I think that's huge. And so Hardman, for me, is a great sleeper pick out of Kansas City. We talked about O.J. Howard. He was the second one that I liked, a fifth-year player. You know, everyone kind of been waiting on Howard to break out year by year, but I really feel like like this could be the year. Last year, he only had 34 receptions, 459 yards, and one touchdown. But he's really been operating as the tight end number one. And so I'm picking him over Cameron Brake and over Gronk. And so I like him as my second breakout player. So Tommy, I was just talking about Mecole Hardman out of Kansas City, and then O.J. Howard, who we talked about a little bit. But I really like Hardman. I think he's a nice sleeper pick out of Kansas City.
Got it. Do you think Hardman will get to the point where he is superstar, passes over Watkins, and eventually get near to Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is the reports out of training camp, people are noticing Hardman's speed even more than Hill, which is nuts. I mean, Hill is definitely faster, but the fact that Hardman's putting it together this early in his second year in his career, I think it's a really good sign, and I'd love to see him pop over Watkins and maybe be a second 1,000-yard receiver there.
Okay, this is one of those things where we're going to be doing our mock draft.
Yeah.
This is where I know your strategy, how much you love Howard and Hardman. I'm sitting there, this guy's got to pick up Hardman.
We're going to be doing a mock draft later tonight, guys, and then we're going to talk about it on Friday. So look out for those results. That'll be fun. What about you, Tommy? What breakout players? I'll save a couple more I have here, but do you have any on your side?
Yep. First one I have is superstar status. The two running backs, Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard is gone. It is him now, no one else. That guy, he could catch, he could run. This guy is going to be a stud. You're going to hear about Miles Sanders. He's going to be carrying the Philadelphia offense. And the other one, my love interest, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. This guy is going to do so well as a rookie in Kansas City. And those two are going to achieve stardom in the NFL.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is climbing up the draft boards. He's going to cost you a first-round pick.
Yep,
I don't think he's getting outside of the top 10, so that's a pretty expensive pick. Sanders, I really like that because you might be able to nab Sanders in the second round.
Yep.
And if you do, you could be getting first-round value, so I like both of those.
And even with Helaire, I mean, not even first top 10. It seems like he's going to top 5, too.
Yeah. I mean, the hype train is really building. And so, I mean, like you said, he's a pass-catching threat. He's a great runner. And, you know, they've been talking him up in camp. I mean, he's been supposedly looking great in camp. Even picking up blitzes, which is a huge deal for running backs. So, yeah. You know, the hype train is real. We'll see what happens. But like I said, it's going to be expensive.
Well, the concern that you always have with rookies is, are they going to ease them in, especially if they don't know the playbook? I mean, you talked about Burrow's knowing the playbook so well,
yep.
But then at the same time, that's the concern.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it takes a long time, particularly for running back. Basically, the main thing for the running back is they got to learn the protections. They got to be able to protect the quarterback. And if they can't learn those, if they make just two mistakes a game, that could be the whole game. And so it's a lot to learn. The NFL is a complicated system, man. You got to be smart to play football in the NFL. And so it can take these rookies sometimes a little bit to get up to speed.
Jed, let me show you something about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, okay? Let me just show you something.
Oh, look at this. We got a little screen share.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on pace to have a big year. I am so all about it. If I get the fifth pick, I guarantee I'm picking this guy, and I'm going to swing around and hope there's a decent running back like a Todd Gurley available in the second round.
I think that's great. I mean, I think Edwards-Helaire could definitely take off. You know, it's just tricky with that first round pick, with your very first pick. You know, to me, you want some stability. You want to make sure you're really confident you're going to get what you get. And it's a little bit of a roll of the dice, but you could hit it big.
Yeah. What about your other one?
So a couple more I had Calvin Ridley, in Atlanta. Last year he had 63 receptions, 866 yards, and 7 touchdowns. And he's coming into year 3. We talked about with wide receivers, that's usually a big breakout year. I think basically this is the year he takes the torch from Julio Jones. I think he becomes the new number one. He's having a great camp. And so I really like him. The other wide receiver I'll mention is Preston Williams down in Miami. The number two. The Devontae Parker, he's fully recovered from a torn ACL. I actually tore my ACL as well, and I know it really takes about 2 years to fully recover from that. They're saying he's having a great camp. I would pay attention to him. Could be a sleeper pick.
I still remember when Calvin Ridley was in college, and he was in Alabama, and he dropped in the draft. The Bears bypassed him, everything like that. And look at him now. now he has a chance to surpass Julio Jones.
Yeah, no, he's been, this guy's been lights out. Great route runner, has the speed, has the build. And I just really like him this year. I think, I think Julio's great, but I think he's just, you can see he's starting to decline a little bit. And so I think this could be the year that he takes over.
I know we're in the league with the Dynasty. Do you have him in Dynasty, in your Dynasty?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, my Dynasty, I'm doing well at the running back position. Wide receiver, I'm a little bit weaker. Odell Beckham and Amari Cooper.
Hey, actually speaking, we were talking about Dynasty. One thought, Dalvin Cook, is your stock on him up or down based upon that?
Up. I love Dalvin Cook. I mean, I'm a big fan of him. Well, he's my running back in Dynasty. Yeah. And I think he's amazing. I have him at top five, and actually I've actually got him top four. Actually, I've got him at my fourth position. So I like Cook a lot out of Minnesota, as you said. I think that the coaching change is gonna benefit him. They're gonna feature him and run him even more. So I'm looking forward to big production from him.
The reason I asked that is I was reading an Instagram post by Adam Schefter of ESPN, mm-hmm. and he was saying, if this contract does not get resolved, he is concerned about Dalvin Cook being your number one draft pick in fantasy football.
Interesting. I felt like the way he's been handling the contract situation has been pretty mature. Like, he hasn't been barking a lot about it. He's letting his agent handle everything. And so I feel like he's been pretty mature about it. But, Shefty's pretty good at his rumors. So I'll have to pay attention to that and make sure he gets that resolved before training camp's done.
Running backs are a dime a dozen. If you don't get your contract now, it'll be hard for you to get. They'll run you to the ground. If I'm a running back, I am complaining as much as I can to get that contract.
100%. I mean, and we know the shelf life of running backs is really short. It's like 3 years, 3-4 years. So you really only have that one chance to get a great contract. So I totally agree with you there. Another one I'll throw out at quarterback is Teddy Bridgewater. We've talked about him before, but I really like Bridgewater. I just, the more I look at this Carolina offense and all that he has to pass to and throw to, I feel like he could be a real sleeper pick. So we'll see. I'm hoping that it works out for him because I just like him as a player and as a person as well.
Interesting. Teddy Bridgewater. Okay, mine is Kyler Murray. I think a lot of times we talked about Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago, Lamar Jackson. This is the year of Kyler Murray. You will, with Kenyon Drake, with DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald, Kingsbury as the coach. I mean, this guy, this offense will really hit on all cylinders.
Oh, I'm definitely, I've got a bromance with Kyler Murray. So I'm on that train for sure. I definitely think this could be the year. I just think he's going to be expensive. I think that's the problem. He's going on average as the fourth or fifth quarterback off the board. I think that's just really high. That's expensive in draft capital to pay to get him. But as far as being a football fan, I'm there with you. I think Murray is going to be great, and I'm looking forward to watching him this season.
So, Jed, in summary, what we learned today is – Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on pace to have a superstar year. This guy is going to be so good this year.
Now everyone's going to know that you're going to want to draft him, Tommy. And so if you don't get one of the first five picks, we're going to draft him and just make fun of you because you're going to be sad for the rest of the draft.
Seriously. I'm telling you, as I'm watching all of the draft, those running backs will fly off the boards in the first 3-4 rounds.
Oh yeah, no, the first couple rounds, it's going to be very heavy running back. I mean, you might see, that usually somebody can't resist picking a Lamar Jackson or a Patrick Mahomes. Like, they usually can't resist somewhere in there. And then of course at the wide receiver, Michael Thomas usually is going to be your first wide receiver off the board. So we'll see. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to tonight.
Yep. Hey, any other thoughts as we wrap up today's show?
No, I mean, I think the last one I'll throw out, another deep sleeper is, I'm hearing in the Buffalo Bills, everyone's talking about Devin Singletary. Everyone's high on him as the running back position. I'm hearing his backup, Zach Moss, has been doing really well in camp. Everyone's saying that he's shining, and they're predicting that he's going to be splitting carries now with Singletary. So don't sleep on Zach Moss. I mean, you just never know with these running backs.
But seriously, everywhere I'm reading, everyone's saying breakout player, Devin Singletary. Yep. I can't believe he was okay. I'm interested in seeing. I mean, the Buffalo offense is kind of just a boring offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's all dependent on the quarterback play. We'll see if Buffalo if this is legit or if they're just a flash in the pan from last year. But like I said, I think this is the year. If there's any year they could win and beat the Patriots, this is the year. So I'm hopeful that they will take advantage.
Jed, during my research, there was two players that constantly was referred to people as potential breakouts, which I wasn't too crazy about. Drew Lock, TJ Hockenson. Now, TJ Hockenson coming out of college was great. Noah Fant was on the same team as him. But yep. the problem is he does get injured, and Locke still has a lot to prove.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Locke. I know a lot of people are high on him as well. I think for a dynasty pick or a keeper league, that's definitely a quarterback you should look at. But I don't know. I'm just not sold on the Denver offense, to be really honest. And so I'm not as high on him. TJ Hockenson, I am. I like Hockenson a lot. I think you're right. The injuries are an issue. But coming out of Detroit, I think Detroit, as I said, I think their offense is really on the upswing. And so I like him a lot.
You know, this is how unprofessional I am, Jed, because here I am talking about four breakout players, and I finally just changed the banner on it. I apologize. I get so caught up in talking about it, I forget to manually change these banners.
No worries. Hopefully people are listening to us on the podcast as well, and then they can't see any of this stuff anyway. So,
well, we are going to be together at the draft. Our mock draft is at 9 p.m. tonight, and we'll talk about it on Friday then.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Hey, for more information, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at fantasymatchup.nfl. That is both on Instagram and Facebook at fantasymatchup.nfl. Jed, have a good day. We will talk soon.
Talk soon, brother.